Thank you, AGP. This is our first meeting of our Water Reclamation Facility Citizens Advisory Committee. And to start off this meeting, the city clerk will be administering the oath of office to our members.
Then again, if we could all stand and raise our right hands and repeat after me. I, please state your name, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California. That I take this obligation freely, without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties upon which I am about to enter. Thank you very much, and in good luck.
Thank you very much.
Okay, for this, till we get to the election of officers, I'm going to handle the facilitation of the meeting. The next order of business is to establish a quorum and call the meeting to order. And I'm just going to go through a roll call vote this first time. After this, we'll probably just dispense with the roll call vote. So here we go. Barbara Spagnola.
Here.
Bill Woodson.
Here.
Dale Guerrera.
Here.
John D. Dottie.
Here.
Mary Gerlach.
Here.
Paul Donnelly.
Here.
Valerie
Laviolette.
Here. Richard Sadowski. And Stephen Shively.
Here.
And Mr. Sadowski did inform us that he was unable to make this first meeting, so he was going to watch the tape so that he would be able to participate at the next meeting. So call the meeting to order. Can we have a moment of silence, please? And then if we could all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Right hand over your heart. Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We're at the point in the meeting where there would be announcements, presentations from any of the committee members, but I think we should take this time to go around the room since we will be electing officers, and I don't know how many of us know each other, and just give a brief introduction of yourself, your name, a brief background, maybe why you're interested in this committee, and what your area of expertise or your area of interest is. And we can start with Stephen.
My name is Stephen Shively, and I'm a registered civil engineer here in the state of California. I sit on the Public Works Advisory Board, and I'm their member who's representing them in this circuit.
And if we could remember to use the mics, I think it'll help AGP out. I don't know. Does Steve need to repeat that? Okay. Dale?
Oh, don't slide, he says. Dale Guerra. I'm a rancher farmer in the Moro Valley. Got interested for the reuse of the water and see what happens.
I'm Bill Woodson. I'm a registered electrical engineer in the state of California. I've been on PWAB and the Planning Commission. And my interest in this project is that I've been watching it from the sidelines for a long time And it's my background is project management, and so I've been kind of watching how it's been evolving, and I'm very happy to be involved.
My name is Valerie Leviolette, and I'm a senior environmental planner with the State of California. And my specialty is cultural resource studies with an emphasis in archaeology. And I'm glad to be here to help with the committee.
My name is... Is that on?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you. My name is Barbara Spagnola. I'm an IT contract advisor for Computer Sciences Corporation. I'm also a member of the Citizens Measure Q committee here in Morro Bay. My interest is contracts and finance, and I'm hoping to help out wherever I can. Thank you.
My name is John Diodati. I'm an administrator with the County Public Works Department. I was on the Planning Commission when the previous wastewater treatment plant came before them, and decisions were rendered at that time. I have an agricultural science degree and an MBA, and I was on the project team for the Los Osos Wastewater Project. I did all of the Proposition 218 proceedings and project development and finances.
My name is Paul Donnelly. I'm a registered civil engineer, also a professional land surveyor. I'm licensed in the states of California and Hawaii. I was formerly on the Street Advisory Committee when that existed here in town, and then it became the Street Tree Committee, and then eventually the Public Works Advisory Board, which I was on when that first was conceived. I served on the Morro Bay City Council. I was vice mayor here in 1988. Also served on the selection committee that selected Rickenbach last year. And since this is a major civil engineering project, I'm very interested in this. So.
Okay. Hello, I'm Mary Gorelick. My nickname is Ginny. Now that I'll be working with all of you. And briefly, my background is I have a bachelor's degree in liberal arts and a master's degree in environmental studies. My career is with the U.S. EPA, both in San Francisco and in Washington, D.C. I came to Morro Bay 4 years ago after I retired, and I just would like to give back to my community at this point in my life. What I'm interested in is public outreach, funding mechanisms. I have experience in grants and contract management, and I look forward to working with all of you.
And let's go ahead and have the staff introduce themselves also.
My name is Bruce Keough, and I'm the Wastewater Division Manager for the City of Morro Bay. My primary duties are really to manage the wastewater treatment plant and the collections division. And I've been involved in the former project pretty much from the beginning. So I'm excited to see a new path and a new group of people.
I'm Rob Leivick, Public Services Director. One of the many registered engineers in the state of California. I'm also a licensed land surveyor. I manage the Public Services Department, which consists of public works functions and planning functions, so it's kind of a combined department. So we have a broad, diverse group over there, and I am the overall project manager for this project, and sitting next to me to the left is John Rickenbach, who is a consulting project manager for this project.
All right, thank you. Yes, I'm John Rickenbach, and he's right. I've been happy to work with you guys for about the last year. It's been a great eye-opener, and also really great to work with all of you. Who's not here today is Mike Nunley, who's my co-manager in this. I'm a planner by background. Mike's an engineer. So between the two of us, we try to cover both bases. But I'll be looking forward to working with all of you over the next period of time on this project.
And then, Rick, if you would, wouldn't mind introducing yourself to the group.
I'm Rick Sauerwein, the Capital Projects Manager for the City of Morro Bay.
as we shuffle staff here. We'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which is the consent calendar. We haven't met before, so we have nothing on there. We have, Thank you. I'm not a very good chair. It's the rookie chair mistake. We'll open it up for public comment for items that are not on the agenda. Anybody wish to speak? Seeing none, close public comment. No consent items, no old business. We'll move to new business. Item C1 is the election of chairperson and vice chairperson. And I'll turn it over to the board for any discussion or nominations. Or volunteers. Or questions.
I haven't actually had a chance to discuss this with John, but I would nominate John to be the chair of this committee.
I would second that nomination based on my past observation and experience with John and his involvement in the city and other commissions and committees.
Is there any discussion on that? John, are you willing to serve as chair? That's usually the...
Yeah, I would be honored, actually, and appreciate the support.
This can be handled with a voice vote. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. John Diodati is the new chair of the Water Reclamation... Water Reclamation Facility Citizens Advisory Committee, and I'll turn it over to John for the election of the vice chair.
Well, thank you, everyone. I do appreciate that and look forward to working with all of you. Now, we do have to have a motion on the floor for a vice chair. Do I have any?
I wouldn't mind being vice chair.
Okay. That's fine. Do we have a second?
I would second Bill Woodson for vice chair.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Congratulations, Bill.
Congratulations.
I'm going to miss the next 10 meetings. Okay. I believe that moves us on to... C2, which is discussion regarding the role of the Water Reclamation Citizens Advisory Committee to inform the process of developing a water reclamation facility, including the requisite Brown Act requirements. Rob, do you have a staff report or presentation?
No real staff report or presentation. This was mainly intended to be a discussion, but I will bring up this will be a Brown Act committee, so we're subject to the open meeting requirements of the state of California. There will be no gatherings for business purposes of, you know, a quorum or more members. So up to four members can meet. So that will actually facilitate the formation of subcommittees. So meet without considered being an open meeting. The role of the Citizens Advisory Committee is an advisory committee to our city council. Staff will be bringing information to this committee for you to review and get your overall impressions of, and we will bring that information to the city council. Also, the thought was the committee would be forming subcommittees to research or go into more detail on specific issues. Now, I think John has some other thoughts about how this committee can really help inform the process and get us through and ultimately to construction and operation of a water reclamation facility. John?
Sure. Thanks, Rob. Yeah, Rob hit it about right. What I see, this is a great committee that's going to be a big help to us. What I see your essential role in the big picture as. You're kind of the bridge between the city council and the general public. I would call you a slightly more, not informed, but you have a certain level of, you bring a certain understanding to the process from one perspective or another that's going to be greatly valued. Now, what that's going to mean, practically speaking, is it's not going to be so much that you're going to direct staff or the consultants to do one thing or another, whether it has to do with financing or engineering or planning or whatnot. It's going to be more the opposite. We've been giving marching orders from the council to do a number of things, which we're doing. A lot of that is providing reports back to the council so they can make recommendations. Some of those are technical, having to do with water, having to do with reclamation. Some are financial, trying to figure out where money might come from. Some of them have to do with permitting concerns, and some of them are just straight out engineering. To what extent can something be done or not be done? I'll talk about some of the efforts underway in the next item, but the idea is we'll be presenting or preparing things along the way in anticipation of various milestones. The next really big one being a city council meeting of November 12, which we'll get into. But along the way, we expect several reports that we'd like your input on, and we're really looking more for input relative to big picture. Are we, A, on the right track, or B, are the things we should be considering that ought to be in the reports once you've had a chance to read them, even in preliminary form, or C, are there things that are just flat out wrong? You know, that's what we're looking for. Not so much we don't want you to look at 800 pages and redline everything. That's not really where we're going with that. We want to make the use of your time as efficient as possible and get the best feedback for the council, because at the end of the day, that's what you're going to be reporting to the council, along with us, along with the rest of the public, so they can make decisions.
Thanks, John. I'll turn it back to the committee now for any discussion that you might want to have on this item.
Thank you both. Do we have any questions or discussion
towards that? Just for clarification, we're still on item C2?
Yes.
Okay. So we've now fulfilled the indoctrination of the Brown Act. Is that what this took care of? Or does our attorney need to tell us something? Or
Our attorney will be providing written material to everybody.
All right.
This was just the basics of the Brown Act. Don't meet in groups of over four people.
All right.
Mr. Woodson.
I was wondering, what kind of a mechanism would we advise the city council of the conclusions or recommendations that we may come up with?
I see it in the same form, kind of as the Measure Q committee does, in the form of a memo to council that staff would draft based on your discussions. So, The form would be your discussions would translate themselves to a written document that would be presented to City Council.
Just to follow up on that, that means staff is going to be taking minutes?
And, yes, we have.
And then you will generate those minutes in a draft and present them to John, and John will either circulate them to us or go ahead.
We would approve them at the next meeting, typically is the way the minutes get approved. We have forgot to introduce one staff member who's in the back, Kay Merrill. She's an admin person from our office, admin tech, and she's taking minutes at this meeting today. So we'll have minutes that will be as part of your next agenda for approval at that time.
Bill, are you concerned about a timing issue if the council has an action item and we meet 2 weeks prior but won't be meeting until again?
Yeah.
So how's that resolved with Mayor Q's committee?
We can hold a special meeting if necessary. I envision these meetings probably monthly, but that's not set in stone. We're going to talk about that on item C5. Wanted to get committee input before we just set up a series of meetings. I think these meetings, their frequency will probably ebb and flow a little bit as the project does. Times you will need to meet more frequently, and times you'll need to meet less frequently. Similar to the JPA meetings, we have set monthly meetings, but often we set those monthly meetings because it's hard to get 10 people into the room at the same time unless it's on everybody's calendar. So that would be the goal of item C5, is to get at least a monthly meeting on everybody's calendar. If we need to have a special meeting other than those meetings for, let's say, approval of some time-critical item, we will try to do that and get that meeting move forward. With a special meeting, we have a little bit more flexibility on the noticing requirements, so we can put it together a little bit quicker than, hopefully, than this meeting took to get together.
I had a quick question, just to make it clear in my mind. As I understood from John, the intent is reports are going to be prepared by the consultant. They're going to come to our committee, lay out the reports, so to speak. We make action on recommendations to City Council on which way to go with that. Is that the basic intent of this committee?
Yes, unlike any of the other advisory committees that we have, okay. Like Public Works Advisory Board,
okay, thank you.
Harbor, or Rec and Parks.
And on Measure Q, we typically would take the minutes from the meeting and our discussions, summarize them, make our recommendations into a separate memo, circulate that electronically for approval so that we're not delayed by hosting another meeting. So perhaps that could work in some cases.
Yes, I'll have to talk to Susan on the mechanics of that, because I think she has that down pretty well.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or comments? All right, Rob, look forward to seeing how this progresses. That moves us on to item C3, presentation of an overview of the project and committee discussion. Mr. Rickenbach, are you giving that presentation?
Yeah, John's going to take over this, and we'll probably want to adjust the chairs slightly so that nobody suffers an eye injury due to the light here. Excuse me, John, but before we move on to that item, I just wanted to, there's a couple members of the public here, just in case they had any comments on that previous agenda item, C2. Maybe if either, does anybody want to speak on item C2, the role of the committee?
Okay. Would you like me to seek public comment on every item? I'm fine with that.
I think if we could just make sure that, especially when we do have members of the public here, yeah. That we do follow that. That
no
probably
problem.
Would be a good idea.
Okay,
thanks.
Thank you.
John.
Thank you, Rob. And thank you, Mr. Chair, and everybody on the committee. What I'd like to do right now, first of all, I'd like to say I'm glad to see some of you again. I know it's been a little over a year, but I recognize several of you from the stakeholder interviews at the beginning of this process, and I remember a lot of the things you said, and I have notes on them, so it's really great to see you back in the fold here. And of course, Ginny has been a little bit more involved recently in helping us out at the staff level on some real good legwork on financing issues, so we really appreciate that. What I'd like to do is spend a few minutes here kind of saying a few things that I think probably all of you know better than most, but I think it'll be useful to get everybody up to speed on the project, where it's come to date. I don't want to spend too much time on the back history, but a little bit, but more on the recent history and really more on where we're going next. And so first of all, I do want to go over a little bit of the project and what the council has given us direction to do. I want to talk about what's happening with respect to the CMC site.
which was a key part of the council's recent action, and then what the next steps in this and your specific role could be over the next month or two to help us get through the next steps in the process. I also want to go through the preliminary schedule where things stand, which could change a little bit depending on what the council does in November. The first place to start is what the goals are for the WRF as established by the City Council. And ultimately, I'll just say them, producing tertiary treated water, so a high level of treatment, reclaiming the water for various purposes, that was fundamental. And then there were several things that were important, but probably not quite to the same level. Allow for on-site composting, designing for energy recovery, design a tree for contaminants of emerging concern. That's actually a goal that came out of the public comment to a higher extent than the others. Then design the site so it may serve other city functions, such as a corporation yard, this sort of thing. But it could be other city functions as well. And ultimately, whatever is done to ensure that it's compatible with neighboring land uses. That's another goal that came out of the various public workshops through the process. So that's the starting point. That's what we're trying to do. So to date, we want to talk about how we got here. As I mentioned, we did have stakeholder interviews that a lot of you participated in a year ago last summer, and then a series of workshops and technical presentations that ultimately led to a council hearing that brought it all together in the form of a report, which we called the Options Report, that led to council recommendations and the council actually establishing a timing goal that wasn't mentioned on the last slide of getting it all accomplished in 5 years. That was done just this last February. And then ultimately the council did choose a site from that process, the Rancho Colina site, but they also directed to study the CMC site for its potential benefits as a regional facility, which hadn't been looked at in detail before. There's two major reports for you. These are online, but two major reports that form the basis of our recent information. One is the options report, and that looked at it narrowed the old study from 2011, the rough screening and fine screening reports that looked at 17 sites, brought it down to 7, and then it considered the relative weight of public comments and concerns in great detail. It also assumed that it would be a city-only facility, not regional participation. That's an important consideration that's leading us to the process we're at right now. And ultimately, what was called then the Moro Valley site ranked highest. That was a large site that generically incorporated many properties within the Moro Valley along Highway 41. Well, the council made a recommendation out of that. And ultimately, that recommendation was to look at that site as the highest consideration. But there were two other sites they also wanted us to look at in more detail. That was the Giannini site, which was identified as Site G in that report, a smaller site, also along the edge of the Little Moro Creek in that area. And another was the Tri-W site, which fronted more along Highway 1 and just outside of town there. Notably, the CMC site was not in the mix at that time. It was not considered as high for a variety of reasons having to do with proximity to the city, but again, looked at only as a city-only facility, not a regional one. We reported back at the council's direction on a second report in May of this year, which was a report on reclamation and the recommended sites. I just mentioned what those sites that the council had recommended were. They also wanted more detail on reclamation possibilities, both in the Moro Valley and Choro Valley. So that report looked at that in some detail. It also looked at the sites that they had recommended, and ultimately we concluded that the Rancho Colina site, which was a subset of the Moro Valley site, was the best site from the city's perspective, and that's what the council chose as their preferred site. We also presented a 5-year work plan to address the city's goal to do this in 5 years. At the same time, the council did ask that we look at the regional potential of the CMC site. And the reason for that was there's a lot of interest in that, not only in this community, but among some at the regional board, the county, Cayucas, have all expressed different levels of interest in that. And we just had not studied that to the degree to answer the questions relative to that. So I just hit on some of the council direction right here, which this slide summarizes. We looked at three sites in some detail after the options report came out. They directed staff to report on water reclamation, the schedule, a work plan, cash flow, how would this likely play out, how project management would be approached, and ultimately recommended that a technical advisory committee be structured and put together, and that's where we're here today on that front. As I mentioned, they did choose the Rancho Colina site as the city's preferred option, but directed an investigation of a regional option at CMC. The council slated to make a final site decision this fall, and at this point, that's looking like November 12. I believe that's the date. There's a lot of things that have to happen between now and then. We'll get into that in a minute, but that's the concept. And so your input between now and then will be crucial. So let's talk about where things stand on that CMC site. Before I do this, I also want to let you know, I want to circle back a little bit. Perhaps I'll do that right now, now that I'm thinking about it, to how we arrived at what we did on Rancho Colina. I think that's going to provide some good background. And also talk about some of the reclamation opportunities. Now, on that second point on reclamation, as things are progressing now, we've developed more information than it was in that report in May, which will come out as things go to the council. I want to talk about that a little bit here. So in May, we responded to council direction to look at water reclamation and the other issues I mentioned. Let's talk about water reclamation for a minute. The concept with reclamation is, let's see if we can reuse it in some way. And there's a lot of kind of whittled down what the real opportunities might be. Now, which the slide you're looking at is already a little bit out of date because there's more than what we reported in May. But I want to kind of highlight what we're talking about here. Generally speaking, there were a lot of sites. The majority were in the Moro Valley, and most of those were ag properties where there's a lot of avocados, for the most part, obviously, going on. And that's a higher demand kind of use. There are some in the Choro Valley, some large ag sites, and, of course, the golf course out there. And then there are several sites within the city, mostly parks and landscaping, but those have less potential use. This map here comes from that May report. And without going into much detail, wherever you see color is where you see potential reuse sites. And you'll notice a lot of that's clustered in the Moro Valley along Highway 41. You don't see as much in Choro Valley. I think what you will see, though, as we come through with our reporting to the council, that the coloring along Choro Valley will increase. There's more there than is what we reported, partly because we weren't looking at it in as great detail because we weren't focused on the CMC site. We were focused on sites that were closer to the city. But when you consider reclamation potential out as far as the CMC site, you do take in some more properties that have some ag potential. So you'll see that'll be a difference than what we reported before. What we're talking about here is a project that could produce over 1,200 acre feet of reclaimed water. That said, there is potentially as much as 4,700 acre feet of demand in the Moro Bay region. And a little over half of that is from the city's perspective. Now, a lot of that reuse, most of it, is going to require disinfection to tertiary standards because we're talking about ag and putting water on the avocados. And so that's okay because that's what the plant would be designed to do, but that's a prerequisite to making reclamation work for ag, basically. There's limited reuse for at disinfected secondary standards, and that's mostly city parks and landscaping. This is a table from our May report. It summarizes what we just talked about there. And without going into any of the numbers, it does summarize the number of sites, the amount of potential demand. And what we're seeing is there's more potential demand for reclaimed water than there is than we're likely to produce. But the other side of that question is, even though the demand's there, will we be able to get the water to those who want it, and are they going to be willing to pay for it? Or there's a lot of logistics to make that work. But in theory, there is the potential there. Now, stream flow augmentation was something we looked at as well. And, of course, there's nine creeks in the area that are potential candidates in both the Moro and Choro Valleys. not just Choro Creek and Morrow Creek, but others. And one of the things we're doing right now is really investigating the permitting requirements of doing that. Obviously, there's the potential for groundwater recharge, but we're looking at the potential for habitat enhancement, which has its own requirements. Direct potable reuse is not currently allowed, but as we understand it through the regional board, that's something that's likely to start happening down the road. We're not there yet. I won't go into much detail on the blobs in there. Let's look at them again. Those are the original sites. Then we came down to three, and then within those three, there's four specific sites that we looked at as the most promising ones. And the one that is, it's hard for me to read my own writing here, but I think site number one there is the Rancho Colina site. It's a black oval in the middle of site B. We looked at Rancho Colina as being highly suitable because, for a variety of reasons, a property owner who is willing to work with the city, but there's also an old wastewater treatment plant that serves an existing, the Rancho Colina mobile home park out there, and that would be replaced as part of this concept. Very good proximity to different reclamation opportunities, all the avocados and the ag up the 41. It's also not that far out of town. It's about a mile or so out of town. It's a previously graded site as it is right now, what with the existing wastewater treatment plant that's out there. I believe it was built in 1971, so it's an old plant. It has suitability potentially as a regional facility, though no one's really talked about it in that fashion. That is to say, its proximity to Cayucas and Morro Bay is good. It's between them, essentially. It is, so far, although Coastal hasn't weighed in recently, it's potentially consistent with coastal policies, at least as described in the old report that was put together by DUDEC in 2011 when Coastal did weigh in and essentially said the sites up 41 have better potential than obviously the current wastewater site. This is a table that I won't go in suitable than others. Sure.
If you go back to that table.
Sure.
Does high always mean high? I see cooperative property owner very high, so that implies that's a good thing. But then you go down to visual impacts high. Does it mean that it's a good thing on visual impacts or a bad thing on visual impacts?
Great question. Let me clarify. We try to be consistent in here. If it says high or very high, that means it's a good thing. So from a visual impact perspective, if it says high, it means low impacts, relatively low. It's good, not bad. But it's a good point to clarify. Others have brought that up, too. Thank you for asking. But as you can see, the Rancho Colina site, generally speaking, has a number of things that relate to cost, proximity to the city or proximity to neighbors, regulatory issues, environmental issues, ownership characteristics that generally rated moderate to high or very high, whereas some of the other sites, Rigetti, pretty good, not quite the same scores. Tri-W was a little lower, actually had some negatives relative to cost and its that relate to elevation and proximity to other city infrastructure. And then the Giannini site, I think, ranks somewhere in the middle right there. Now, what you don't see in this table is the CMC site. That's something we'll be talking about in our upcoming reports. So, again, it's essentially, if you want to look at it from a, like you'd look at an NCAA tournament, you've got Rancho Colina now up against CMC as a regional concept. That's what we want to get through next. So I won't go into the schedule yet, Rancho Colina, or to get involved in a regional facility that would probably be led by the county, that we don't know that yet. That will make all the difference in terms of the next steps. Because if it's here, then we're talking about a master planning process and so forth. Mr. Woodson.
From that schedule, it looks like some party is supposed to have a regional evaluation by August the 2nd of this year. Is that you?
This schedule was put together about 8 months ago. And at that time, we were hoping to be where we expect to be in November. We hope to be there in August. So we're not quite there yet. But, yeah, what we're trying to do is evaluate
the CMC site, and that's what we're doing. And I'll explain our role in that. It's actually Mike Nunley and I are leading what now has become a team of consultants to figure out a lot of the key questions. And I'll go into some of the detail on that. But that's the key. We need to get to that point, and the council needs to have the information that will allow them to make a decision on whether to go regional or to go with the city site that they've chosen previously.
John, I've got a follow-up question.
Sure.
It says that on 8.5, mm-hmm. you'd have the initial stream flow augmentation permitting analysis. Is that pretty well underway?
Yes. In fact, there's probably a whole series of questions that will come of this. But a lot of these steps right here that have to do with the grant loan strategy analysis, the stream flow augmentation, and so forth, that would inform that decision, they're all underway. And the question is, 5-year plan really can't get kicked off until the council makes that decision. And so until that happens, we're sort of stuck where we are. To go for the to a regional facility obviously is going to require a lot of cooperation and coordination with the county, with the state, probably Cayucas, but we'll have to get ahead on that. Okay, go ahead.
I just want to add a little bit more background to why 5 years. What's magic about 5 years? 5 years is coincident with the permit period, so we will be issued sometime in the next few months a permit on to operate our existing plant for 5 years. It'll be a secondary permit with interim effluent limitations on that plant. The maximum amount of time that the regional board can protect the city from fines is 10 years. Council did not want to stretch this out any longer than we had to due to the permitting impacts, and also that is an old plant. And if you've been following along with kind of our other parallel path, our major maintenance and repair projects, we're having to spend a significant amount of money to keep that plant in operations. So two-pronged goal to get the new plant in operation before the end of that permit period and to spend as minimum amount of possible keeping the existing plant running. The best way to do that is to get out of the existing plant as soon as possible. Thanks.
Thank you, Rob. So this schedule, we're beginning of this right now. Now, what I'd like to do is go back farther into the presentation part that I skipped over, which really goes into detail about what's happening on the CMC analysis right now. And I think it'll answer a lot of your questions that you might have relative to what's happening, what your role is going to be, and when we can expect things to go forward. Okay. In the CMC analysis, the basic issue we're trying to decide is, does it make sense for the city to pursue participation in a regional facility at the CMC site, which you're all aware is actually not on the CMC property itself, but it's actually sort of behind Cuesta College. It serves the California Men's Colony. It's run by the state right now. But as things have evolved, there's the potential for the county to take that plant over. And if that happens, does it make sense for Morro Bay and others, Cayucas, for example, to participate in that regionally? That's what we're trying to figure out. So what are the key issues to try to figure out? One is the rough cost of expanding the existing site. Can you expand it or do you need a new site? That's a basic question for the regional flows that would happen. Second, what are the funding options that would help the city pay for that? And a realistic look at that. And this is where Ginny was real helpful. She actually sat down with staff on several occasions and came up with a gigantic notebook of different grants and loan programs that we're looking at critically to see how many of those are actually realistic and may actually have potential for this project. We need to look at the permitting implications of this partnership. Is it possible? Is it likely? Is it easy for the city to enter into a partnership with the county, with Cayucas, potentially with the state, in a framework that works quickly and consistent with the city's goals, including timing goals? And then what are the implications for Morro Bay's ratepayers? And the city is, as a separate
project or as a separate study. They've embarked on a rate study right now with Bartle Wells, who is in the middle of trying to figure out the city's long-term rate situation. That we have nothing to report on that right now. That's an ongoing process. So with those as being the key issues, we had to get some expertise to help us answer some of those. And so we have essentially four parallel paths going on right now, four different studies that are going to go into the master presentation that we're going to present to the council in November. Let's talk about each of those. One of them has to do with expansion-related costs and design issues, and we have Carollo engineers working on that question. Why Carollo? Well, Carollo is most involved with the CMC site right now. They know the issues out there. They've studied it. They know exactly what's going on and are best informed, in a best position to figure out what it would take to actually turn that into a regional facility. One of the things we wanted to make sure that everybody understands, both on this committee and in the public in general, is that we as the master consulting team, JFR, we're not telling these guys what to do. We want these reports they come up with as independent studies. We're not going to tell them what their conclusions should be. Staff has not given them any direction other than these are the questions we want answered. We just want these to come off as completely unbiased outlooks because we do is and have looked quite realistically at what can happen and what can't. So what Ginny actually put together is very helpful there because it provides sort of the universe of things for us to look at. And they're looking at that critically, and we'll be able to report on that in not the not-too-distant future here. Then a third study has to do with looking at the permitting requirements related to discharge of reclaimed water. And we have Larry Walker Associates working on that. Now, that report is very close to being done. And, in fact, that's a report we want to, at least in a preliminary way, provide some of the findings on September 23rd in front of the council. Doesn't mean that what's presented on the 23rd is set in stone. In fact, you won't have the benefit of having met before that happens, but you will meet again before it goes to the council, and you'll be able to see the benefits of the report. As we have things to report, we have nothing in hand from them yet, but as we get them, we want to pass that on to you so you can see what's going on there. And not so much so you can just read it and go, uh-huh. We want to be able to give you direction. Here's the report. Here's some key issues that were brought up. We'd like your input on some of these questions that are still in our mind. So that's the one that's the most imminent.
Can I add, John, real sure. quick, on the permitting for discharge, is that just the Water Quality Control Board, or are you also looking at it from fishing if
yeah.
you're releasing it? Is it all the different
permits? It's the different permitting issues, regional boards.
Of all
one
the
of them,
different agencies.
What are going to be some of the key issues we're facing by doing that?
Oh,
exactly.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. And then the last question is one on potential water use benefits to the city. You know, the city's got well fields in the Chorro Valley close to the city. Also, you know, there's potential. So we want to look at that context and really hammer down what the city might be able to do in terms of benefits. We have Cleith Harris looking at that right now. Now, in reporting on the CMC question, we can't just do that in a vacuum. We really want to be able to provide information to the council that here's what would happen at CMC, and the degree to which we can compare that to what would happen at Rancho Colina, we want to be able to do that. They're not exactly, it's not entirely apples to apples, but we want to provide as fair a comparison as possible. And that's what we've asked all these consultants to do. So here's the reporting schedule as we see it. September 23rd, we will have Larry Walker Associates present before the council some of their preliminary findings. I don't expect their full report will be done by September 23rd, but their findings generally will be. And so that will provide some input on some of the permit questions we'll face. The funding options report we expect to be presented to the council on October 14. Now, I expect that we'll probably be meeting as a group before October 14, or it would be good to be able to do that if we could. And we'll likely have some preliminary findings on that front and, of course, on permitting before then that we will probably ask your input on. For October 28, at that council meeting, we'll have Cleith Harris report on their findings relative to water and the relative issues in the Morro and Chorro Valley. And ultimately, all that, along with Carollo's report, which will be ongoing on the cost and the expansion issues, will come together in a full report for November 12. We're not entirely sure where Carollo's report may fall in terms of reporting before that date.
I'm not sure I understand. These guys are going to make presentations to the City Council directly with recommendations bypassing this body?
There will be no recommendations made. What they'll be reporting is what they've been working on and some rough, call them findings or issues that they've identified along the way. The purpose of their preliminary reports really is to gain input from the council and from the general public. Obviously, the timing of that relative to this body's reporting is a little bit challenging, but we want to balance that between the need to move relatively quickly and in the context of the council's long-term planning and the fact that we have these consultants already underway with some of their reporting. That said, we do believe that there's benefit to going before the council in a preliminary sense. You may be able to provide information or a perspective even in an after-the-fact way, because ultimately all of those reports will come together in a series of recommendations in November, but no recommendations until that time. It's really issues.
I got one more. Oh. One quickie. Okay. How about staff? Will staff make, like in the Planning Commission, staff recommends what action is appropriate for the body, for the Planning Commission to yay or nay? Will staff make recommendations to these reports?
These reports will be informational reports as we report them out to this body and council. And if we waited till the end and kind of dumped these five reports on council on November 12th, we could end up with a meeting that they may not ever be able to get through just because of the volume information. So present the reports, not so much recommendations, but findings of the issues. That way there's some time to think about it before they have to, and the community, we have to make that decision on November 12th. So that's when the recommendation point, and I think that way we'll have enough time to fully vet it at this body before we go to council on November 12th also.
Rob? Real quick, on the CMC site itself, it's not totally in Morro Bay's hand to make the decision whether that's even going to occur or not. Is that correct? I mean, there's other players, the county and the state.
There's many other players with
right.
the CMC site.
At the Rancho Colina, we do have, if that's the choice City Council makes, there's no other governing agency that truly has to get involved other than the permitting,
other
say,
the
from the Coastal Commission or anybody else.
The county for land use permitting, unless we go through an annexation
process. Has it already been discussed with the county? Are they on board to want to take this on as a regional facility since they're not running it now?
There's been discussions with the former Public Works Director there about the long-term plans as far as utility operations of the county. I think I'm kind of speaking out of turn, and I may have an eye towards John, but probably not his place to talk about that in this meeting. But the Department of Corrections may not be the best suited to be running a wastewater treatment plant.
Mm-hmm.
That's not their area of expertise. They have another area of expertise. There's, you know, public works departments, the county, and the cities that do that for a living, and they might be better suited to manage a utility.
I guess the question I have is, because I keep hearing they want to get this five-year plan, have it done that frame of time, and for some reason with CMC, I somehow don't feel real warm and fuzzy it's going to happen in 5 years when you have that many different governing agencies involved in the situation. And I'm not 100% sure what the benefit to the CMC site is over, say, keeping it in-house, so to speak, at a site, say, like, I won't say Rancho Colina, but like, you know, the sites that were picked that would have been city only. What is the benefit there with the CMC that, well, they wouldn't have pursued this track if they didn't have some idea.
A lot of these studies are going to reveal for us is what what ultimately that benefit is. Real quick, Rob, a couple things on going back to Mr. Woodson's questions earlier. These are going to be probably receive and file on the city council's agenda.
Receive and file. We'll take comments, but no action by the council.
And then we will have a meet. This advisory committee will have a meeting before November 12th, where they're going to. That's when they'll be making decisions, and they'll be using these documents to rely on those decisions at that time.
It would be nice to have this committee meet a couple of times before.
Right, but
November
we'll at least
12th.
Meet before the November 12th meeting once to and have.
So we don't need to present five technical reports at one city council meeting, and that way, like I said, there can be some error there. And I think John has some little bit of information on why CMC and why we've embarked this.
Could I say one more thing to answer Steve's question? I think if we have questions about CMC and Rob mentioned, the counties had previous discussions with the county and the city, I don't think it's out of the purview of this advisory committee to request someone from the county who's maybe an expert on that subject matter or from CMC to come out and give a presentation to us so we can ask them those questions as well.
Thank you.
John? I have a question about Cayucos because you had mentioned that the Rancho Colina site could potentially be a regional facility with Cayucos. Have they expressed a desire one way or the other with CMC or Rancho Colina?
I don't want to speak for them. Right now, if I characterize Cayucos, and I think this is a fair characterization, they've been relatively silent through this whole process. They have, generally speaking, expressed interest in the CMC site, probably even more than the Rancho Colina site, but they haven't made a commitment one way or another. I think they're just holding their cards close to the chest to see where things fall.
I got one thing. All these reports are going to be ready and be read before the November 12th.
Yes.
So the council can read them so they can make a decision before that.
So they can make a decision on November 12th.
On November 12th. So we're going to get all this and be able to read through everything. So these dates that are up.
12th. And that would have been one way to go. The other way to go is to, as the specific informing reports become available, to roll that out a little bit at a time so at least there's a digestion period before November 12th. What will be reported on November 12th, to a large degree, probably won't come as a major surprise once we understand the other reports. But, yeah, that was the idea. It's a lot of information. We thought it'd be best to roll it out in pieces. And we're not sure exactly if you're – I know, for example, on September 23rd, we won't have the full report from Larry Walker, but we'll have their basic findings. The others, we will probably have their full reports by then. But, we're trying to make this as efficient as possible and understandable. We'll all have to work together to make that happen, obviously.
So the full report is a combination of
correct.
All the other reports.
Oh, yeah. And a little bit more
and
information.
More from you.
That's right. That's right.
So is that going to be ready before November 12th? That's what I'm...
It's going to have to be ready in advance. Yeah, a good piece of several days in advance, so you'll have some time. And ideally, you'd have the benefit of perhaps our preliminary findings even before our report is out, so you have a little bit more time to digest. I'm not sure how that will work exactly, but the council will need time as well. At the end of the day, you're going to report and provide your own perspective to the council. The council, at the end of the day, will either decide, I get it, we got it, everything looks great, we'll make a decision. Or if it's too overwhelming, they can make a decision to put it off for another day. We're not sure where that's going to go. But we're shooting for that day is what we're doing.
It could land. Is it just strictly the fact there is an existing facility there that you're taking a look at it in that light? Is that?
Yes, there's some existing infrastructure there. Crolla will be looking at what it would take to expand that facility, because we know as engineers probably that we're not building a whole parallel facility right next door to it.
Right.
There are some things that will be able to be either enlarged or modified to handle the flows. We're not going to need two administration buildings there, things like that. The things that we don't know about that facility is it does it meet all the goals that the city council set forward for use of that reclaimed water, producing that tertiary treated effluent, and their timing goals? I would suspect that it's going to take longer to do something at CMC than it will at Rancho Colina.
Yes, I would agree with that.
The more players that you get in the mix, there's going to have to be some sort of joint operating agreement, or we're all going to be customers. That's not yet determined yet.
Well, I think you did answer my question. I guess the basis was they could see this as it may be more economical than, say, doing it at Rancho Colina. And on that basis, I could appreciate that. And you won't know until you have these reports exactly what the true costs would be, or all kinds of costs, financial, environmental, whatever the case may be.
The conceptual message to us was, gosh, if you have three or four players at a site that already, all those technical studies will inform the big report in November. And then we've already figured out, just for the benefit of this group, what are the framing questions we want to look at in our big report? And I think that's worth sharing right now. You know, our report's going to essentially focus on these questions right in front of you. And it's really going to look, it's going to take all those studies and filter them through these questions with our own analysis. And what actually would be useful for you folks to weigh in on, and maybe it's not today because you're just seeing it right now, is are we missing anything in terms of what the big report ought to be asking? You know, we're looking at, is there potential cost savings? What are the water supply benefits? What are the relative water reclamation opportunities of the two sites? Are there unique regional benefits at CMC? The relative regulatory and logistical constraints? Are there physical constraints for expansion at CMC we ought to know about? Environmental issues? Are there discharge limitations that might affect the design? Is the five-year goal achievable at CMC? That's what Rob was talking about. And what would the city's role be in constructing and operating such a plant? Or would it just be to pay money and be done? So within all that, there's the logistical question of trying to create a framework that's workable as well with the other agencies. But if you look at these, that is really the bones of our report. And so you might give that some thought and report back to us about other questions or that we ought to be looking at, or maybe you don't think some of these are important, or maybe you think some of these are really important to look at, and we'll try to focus on those as much as possible.
In this last report out in May, there was some the acre feet.
Acre feet, reclamation potential, yeah. Exactly. So there are things that we're definitely going to be updating.
Okay.
The only other thing I don't see explicitly listed there is, are there any shared risks and benefits, liabilities, et cetera? And I suspect that's wrapped up in some of these, but sometimes these things are, you know, hopefully would never happen, but the fact that you have other government agencies maybe underwriting or whatever could be positive.
My memory is not as good as it used to be, but I remember that Morro Bay had potable water wells in the Chorro Valley, and they are not operable essentially now except for the golf course. And the golf course water is based on what CMC now discharges into Chorro Creek. And my question is if we discharged into Chorro Creek through this CMC facility, would we have better access to those wells? Are those wells functional, and is that potable water, and is that a financial bonanza for us?
A fair question and a central question, actually, and that's what our reports are going to be looking at. Cleith is going to be looking at the water issues. We're going to look at permitting issues that relate to that. If there's more water, how much water is going to be discharged? Will the minimum flow requirements be met in Chorro Creek that allow city access? We're going to investigate
that. Be negotiated in the terms of whatever agreement we've put together. I mean, that's really one of the key benefits to the Chorro option is does it benefit our downstream wells by allowing us to use those wells more often?
According to the State Water Resources Control Board, once that water goes into the creek, it's for each landowner. Nobody can claim it before it gets to the, there was a meeting about 3 weeks ago out at the range from all the attorneys of the State Water Resources Control Board. So I don't know how that's going to work for Morro Bay to get the water.
Is that rain water?
No, that's the water coming out right now.
But what?
Can you guys use those microphones, please, while you're discussing that? Awesome.
I think, as I said, they're down in the details that aren't ready for this meeting.
We will have to work through the agreements of that and the how those water rights are apportioned by the state board. We'll have to iron those out also.
So where all this is leading to me is back to your role in all this. You know, as I said at the beginning, your role is a bridge. You're between the public and the decision makers. You're in a sort of a elevated, more informed cross-section of the public, really. And your input is completely invaluable. We need it. The main thing I would ask from the report preparer side is, I'd love your advice to make sure we're asking the tracker, or we just go way off the rails somehow. Think big picture. When you get information from us, we don't need red line copies of all the missing commas and everything else. Are we getting the issues right? If you have alternate perspectives that our reports don't consider, we want to make sure that we hear them and that you give them to us and tell us your underlying assumptions behind those perspectives. Maybe we've considered those, maybe we haven't, but that would be very helpful. And if there are technical errors, please tell us. We want to make sure, or things such as the wrong property owners. What we want to not do is focus on the small things, the details, the tiny things, which are good, but your time is valuable, and we want to make sure we focus on those bigger things. And make sure if you have opinions that you let us know the assumptions, because that will really help us and really help the council in making their decision, and that's really the bottom line point. We're all here to help them make a better decision. So this slide, I think, hopefully defines my vision of what your role should be in the upcoming meetings. And with that, that's really the end of my presentation. Obviously, I'm here to help answer any questions, but I'm going to hand it back over to the chair, Mr. Diodati.
Thank you. Any other questions on the presentation? I'll take public comment in a minute. This was a very, very interesting report, but for you or Rob to get any thought-out analysis of your report is very difficult before. So I'm not asking you to kill a tree or two. I'm just asking you to just to forward as much information as you can to us as soon as you can.
And unfortunately, we did accidentally kill a tree with this. I hit print and shouldn't have. There are some copies for you to take. This report will be posted to the website under, we're setting up a page for the committee. Also, please sign up for not only this committee, but the public can sign up for the Notify Me for the Water Reclamation Citizens Advisory Committee. So as information gets posted, you'll get an email notification of that. Probably active as we speak right now. I think Janine is taking care of activating that right now.
You do have the agenda and minutes on the website.
The agenda and the minutes will be up there once they are approved. The intent is not to have just an agenda for future meetings, but to have the meat behind the agenda and to have a staff written report with any
whether it be a cover to a report and the report there. So the intent is not to, as you said, extemporaneously discuss these things and make a decision on the fly, because nobody can really do that without giving it much thought. So that is our goal for the next meeting, is to have that information available for the committee prior. Have it for the weekend, if we continue with Wednesday meetings, let's say, for the weekend prior to that. And our goal always is to get that information out as soon as possible.
John, I had one quick question on, it was more out of curiosity. You had a slide earlier in the presentation showing potential water reuse customers, and the city was listed, I jotted down, I think 427 acre feet is what the city uses, if I read it right. Yeah, this slide. If I saw City of Morro Bay over on the far right, 427 acre feet.
Those are for sites that are actually in the City of Morro Bay, parks,
right.
Landscaping, okay. And such.
So this is curiosity, but out of the 427, do you know how much of that is potable water? The recycled water would potentially offset?
I don't know.
I don't have an exact number, but only one of our facilities is actually irrigated by non-potable water right now, Lilac Isa Park. But it still does draw, even though it's non-potable, it's still drawing from the same point that we our Morro wells draw from, that we run through our RO facility. So it's still a straw in the same aquifer. Mm-hmm. We just don't provide the treatment prior to irrigation with that.
Okay, does that include the golf course? Do you know?
I believe it does include
that's
the golf
a lot
course.
Of water. Yeah. Okay, I thought so. All right, thank you. With that, any other questions from the advisory committee?
John, I have a question regarding the CMC.
Ultimately, probably take it over. And that being the case, I can't tell you about whether it's viable or not, but it seems to make a lot of sense if the county were running it.
Okay, thank you. With that, we'll take public comment. If any members of the public would like to speak on this matter, please come up to the microphone and state your name.
Rob Kitzman. John, I had a question for you regarding some of the reports that are expected to come out. What report or which, let's see here, it'll come to me when I see the list. Okay. Which consultant or engineer group is addressing the issue of the use and the validity of the outfall system?
The concept there is really it's mostly Mike Nunley, who's working with me, is going to be addressing that in consultation with Corollo Engineers and their design considerations that would be involved in expanding the plant. But the outfall issue is something that at this point, the assumption is the outfall is going to remain for the time being because when there's wet weather flows, it's something that would be necessary to deal with that. But we're not investigating per se whether or not the outfall should stay or go. That's not really the issue at hand that we're studying right now.
Additionally, Larry Walker will be looking at permitting issues with the outfall relative to other discharge locations. The question that you're asking, I think Larry Walker and Associates report would be more applicable to that.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. But we will move on to C4, committee discussion regarding subcommittee formation. And looks like we have a recommendation here, Rob, if you want to discuss this item for us, please.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the things that was discussed on the formation of this committee was the idea that I think many of you brought this idea up, was that your willingness to work with other members on the committee and form subcommittees where you can look into depth at a variety of subjects. While we may not need to form every committee today, it might be good to look at the breadth of the committees that we may want to form and poll the overall committee's interest in serving on those subcommittees. Just as a reminder, they could be four members could serve on any subcommittee without creating a Brown Act conflict, and you could meet in a non-agendized meeting to investigate a subject to bring it back to the committee as whole. Remember that this committee is not just for the site selection, but it's through the overall development of the project. So as we move forward, there will be more technical issues that will be this committee were finance, coastal issues and land use planning, treatment technology, project delivery methods, and water reuse. Those are examples of subcommittees that could be formed. Like I said, we don't expect that every committee will be subcommittee will be formed at this meeting. We may want to consider keeping this as a agenda item for every meeting. So if there is a need for another subcommittee, it could be formed at any meeting. So that is for this committee to decide whether you desire to form subcommittees or not, and who would participate and what area that you might be interested in. Specifically, I think what committees that we could use immediately would be looking at perhaps a finance committee, a subcommittee could be formed, and perhaps coastal issues, land use planning subcommittee may want to get rolling forward, and water reuse.
So just for clarification on our discussion here in a minute, are you seeking, we discussed a framework of the subcommittees today at this meeting, and maybe at our next meeting we form them, or are you actually looking for us to form some of those subcommittees right now?
I'll leave that to the committee to decide. If you need more time to form the committees, we could do that next time. If it's simpler, I think some of the committees might be simpler to form than others. I've heard from several of you that you're interested.
On November 12th, you'll be given a full report. At that time, they'll know everything about CMC. They'll make a decision. The city council will make a decision on the exact site and direction we want to go at that time.
That is our goal.
Okay, and then there'll be finally a project description that we can go and get the financing and environmental studies and...
Yes.
Okay, so maybe it might be best to wait till then and we know which direction we're going, and then we can start subcommittees going in that direction?
I think that is one option. Another option might be to have members express their interest in the types of committees they're interested in and see if they want to get together before that decision is made so that research can be done or... discussion can be made amongst yourself before you meet.
Yeah, I would add to that. You know, in terms of things that will happen before November 12th, let's say you meet two more times. I expect that we'll have information relative to permitting issues that you'll want to focus on. We'll have information relative to financing and funding mechanisms, which you may want to comment on. And we'll possibly have information on city water use potential that you may want to comment on. So in that world of information, committees that would be able to address those issues might be useful because then you'd have an internal reporting mechanism you can deal with. It's a thought.
And to help further with that discussion, and I know this is somewhat than the next agenda item, but when do you envision the next two meetings? If we form the subcommittees at the next meeting, would there be,
as we can feed information to you, you can feed information to them, and they can report back to you, and it might make the next meeting a little more streamlined. It's a thought.
Okay. Any other thoughts from folks?
Well, doesn't it depend on what site, as far as financing and water reuse, and so we don't know what we're going to be looking at. So
correct.
Well,
yeah, I guess I'm throwing the word financing in a big picture. In the short term, all financing means is Are there grant and loan and program opportunities to help finance the project? And the other part is, do the cost estimates that we'll be putting forward, do you have any input on whether you think they make sense or not? But that will be, that's sort of the secondary thought. Once a site is selected, this process is going to take one of two directions. It's going to either go, if it's Rancho Colina or a city site, it's going to follow a master planning program that the city will lead and will go down the path of design and environmental everything else. If the decision is made to go to a regional site, then it becomes a question of working closely with the county and the state and Cayucas to come up with a framework. And if that ends up in the county's hands, then it's the city's role will be wildly different. It'll be, we're going to work with the county probably in some fashion to make that go forward. So, yeah, we don't know what will happen exactly. If there's a benefit to creating subcommittees, even if you don't use them yet, there may be a benefit if you can pool your interests and create committees that'll save a step down the line.
I'll just throw out there to start it, and I don't see it coming up soon, but if you need a subcommittee on treatment technology.
I think there need to be too many. We discuss what those are now, arrive at some sort of decision, and then have staff come back with the subcommittees and what breadth of knowledge or research they would be involved in. And then at that next meeting, we'd have a chance through the agenda to see what those subcommittees would be covering and then propose who wants to be on them at that time and seat them at that time. So if that's where people want to go, the three that I think would work, and based on experience with the Los Osos Wastewater Project, their technical advisory committee had three subcommittees. One was finance, one was environmental. Environmental could cover coastal issues, permitting, right-of-way. Staff could provide a long list of what would fall under the environmental subcommittee, and then engineering and water resources. And the water resources, that would be where the reuse comes into play. And that way we just have three simple subcommittees instead of always forming a, you know, water resource subcommittee and a right-of-way subcommittee, that all the key project components fall under one of those three subcommittees.
Mr. Chair, just a thought for your consideration as you move forward in this process. You're going to be digesting as a group a large amount of technical information in a very short period of time. And one potential utility of these subcommittees, it will allow you to break up into groups and focus your attention as those studies come through on your specific area so that you don't necessarily have to digest the entire report every individually. So.
Great. Any comments or thoughts? That was a proposal I was throwing. We maybe discuss with staff right now what would fall under them, or I think Rob and John, all your staff is very competent. You guys can come back and tell us what subcategories would be under each committee, and then at the next meeting we seat those, because we do have one member who's not here who might want to be a part of some of those committees.
I think that'll work for us. Is that the consensus of the committee to?
It sounds good to just have the three sub, like John said, and go from there.
I agree. I agree with you, John.
I concur.
I agree.
Around the table. Okay. So informal.
Okay. Staff will plan on doing that for the next meeting. Put together a short list of subject areas for each of those three. Subcommittees.
And then I think going to be on a volunteer basis, but if five people want to be on one, we'll have to vote. Is that how it will work?
I think that's how it'll work.
Okay. Okay.
It'll Sounds be tough good. Finding one some.
It might, actually. Okay, any other discussion on this item? Members of the public out there would like to comment? No? Then we'll move on to C5, schedule of our next monthly meeting. Rob, do you have?
I don't want to do it through doodle poll again, ever.
We don't either.
Although it was probably the easiest way to gather consensus on a meeting date. In fact, I have to thank some of John's colleagues at the county for introducing me.
the nature of this committee, unfortunately. Now that we're here, is this a good time? Is this a good day of the week? I think we could have that discussion.
I think there needs to be two discussions. One is, when are we meeting and how often prior to 11-12, the city council meeting? And then on an ongoing basis, are we meeting on a regular monthly basis, every 2 weeks, every other month, or as needed? So there's probably two, after seeing the presentation and understanding what we have to get our heads around here rather quickly, is blocking out some time for some meetings in the near future.
I think from a staff's standpoint, as needed doesn't work to schedule meetings. I think we need to establish a regular schedule. The thought was monthly at a minimum, a monthly schedule to begin with. And then as the project ebbs and flows, we can adjust those meetings. If we need a special meeting in between the months, we can put one together. And we may not get 100% attendance for that meeting, but we can put a special meeting together.
So if we meet monthly, there's the potential for two more meetings prior to 11-12. Okay.
I think that
makes sense.
And, Mr. Chair, if I could make a suggestion, this is sort of a unique period because we have a lot of things to do in a short time. But looking at the calendar, here it is a Wednesday afternoon. Theoretically, we could have a meeting the first Wednesday of the month, which would be October 1 and November 5, which actually fall pretty well.
And we have a certain, like, a first Wednesday or a second Thursday or whatever the case may be, because you could keep it in your head straight and you could schedule out months in advance and keep your calendar open in that sense. That's my only question. I'd hate to have it jumping around on different days, and that's when you get lost sometimes when you're trying to schedule these things.
Any other comments on
good comments? Could it work a little later in the day, other than 3 o'clock?
I think we want to somewhat be respectful of staff's time as well, because we're asking them to stay past their normal working hours. But
we can make it we can make it work really any time. Well, not any time, but we can make it work. Towards the end of the day would probably work better for most people, I think. I did put out there early in the morning. I didn't get many takers for that.
I like Wednesdays myself, and I like 3 o'clock myself. I don't like the first Wednesday, but I'll take any other Wednesday. And I like 3 o'clock, and I think it worked for me.
The only other comment I was going to add is I think we have a lot to do between now and the 12th. And initially, I could see a second meeting in October. Granted, a monthly meeting, and I'm with Bill, I would prefer the second or fourth Wednesdays. Second, maybe, prior. But just as opposed to the first, right after, you know.
Early November. I'm not sure the days, but some 3 meetings set up. If that's more useful than 2, that might work.
Valerie, do you have any comments on the meetings?
I'm flexible. I like the idea of having a set date and a set time, and I'm willing to be flexible and do whatever's going to work for the group. I prefer it a little bit earlier than evening meetings. I get up really early, so start to fade.
Paul, any comments?
I like the idea of going to the first Wednesday of every month, but if that's going to be a hardship for some folks, the second Wednesday, which this is right now, would that be too difficult for you to adjust?
I'll just speak for staff. I think we'll adjust to whatever it is.
Okay.
You have to decide what works for you.
I got a feeling the second Wednesday of the month is going to work out best.
But I'm hearing we can't do the second Wednesday because it falls on the city council's meeting. So,
well, it just does that once. Maybe we just have a special meeting
after
if we
that.
Wish to do it a little earlier that particular month
okay.
and stick with the second Wednesday.
And Mary, any
comments?
I'm fine with whatever the group decides. Wednesday works for me. 3 o'clock is great. I agree, though, with Barbara, that I think we probably need a second meeting in here before the city council meeting. So maybe we're talking about the 15th and the 22nd.
One thing I will bring up, I'm going to be out of country in early November, but that's fine. I'll write up my comments and get them to Rob to whatever I review. They'll be the one probably before your November 12th date I probably will not be able to make, but I'm open every other time.
Rob, if meetings fall on the same day of the city council in the moving forward as well, is that going to impact your workload and your availability?
Our city council
at 5, and do they start at 6:30?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. So if we carry later than that, I mean, it's one way to guarantee we're not going to go late into
there
the night.
You
you're
especially
out of here.
If we have it in the same room as city council.
Well, you got AGP to consider too. I don't know if they can cover both locations.
AGP's pretty good at covering meetings all over the state.
It's only the Thursday. The Veterans Day holiday that causes the conflict with city council. No,
because they're normally on Tuesdays.
Yeah, because they're normally on Tuesdays. That's the only reason that first that meeting in November.
Okay, so what I'm hearing from the group is collectively the second Wednesday of the month is the best. In the late afternoon, it's not perfect for everybody, but it seems like that's the best for the group. And then, but we should probably schedule some meetings because of how hard it was just to get this one together. If we have to meet a couple times before November 12th, we should probably have some dates booked as well.
Yeah, so the suggestion I think that John made was to meet, or somebody made, to meet on the 8th and the 22nd of October.
And then our meeting in November will be canceled?
Or we could meet.
I like how you think.
Or we could meet the first Wednesday in October, the 5th. And then from there on out, we would schedule it for the second Wednesday of the month.
So 10-8, 11-5, and then it becomes the second Wednesday of the month.
1-14. We'll send out a schedule. You don't have to write all this down.
So we're not going to meet for a month from now. 4 weeks from today, correct?
That's what it sounds like.
Correct.
But as documents become available, we will receive them.
Personally, I like the 8th in a way. You'll have the benefit of, and the 22nd, that back-to-back, there'll be plenty to digest, and you might have the benefit of more complete reports on the 8th, my guess.
Do you have a problem?
No.
No, I was moving the mic.
Will we be able to see read your draft report by the 11, before the 11-5 meeting?
So I expect it should be done. It'll have to be to the council around then as well. So you will certainly have the benefit of the basic conclusions of the report well in advance of that. We'll make every effort. Yeah, we'd love to get it to you.
Okay, and then if we set our meetings for 3 to 5 and they go later, do we just make a motion to exceed 5 o'clock, or are we bound by?
I think we set the start time for the meetings. And whenever they end, I just need to make sure I reserve the room for a long enough period of time to cover that meeting and let AGP know. I mean, generally, we've been going on now for almost 2 hours. I wouldn't expect us, you know, the next meetings will be more structured, and I think we can probably work our way through them a little bit more expeditiously.
Okay. And is 3 a good time, Dale? You asked for later.
Yeah, I can.
A motion would be good too, and you probably don't need to restate. I think you could probably state as in the record.
Okay, can I have a motion from someone for setting our calendar?
John said.
I second.
Okay, I think we can just do a voice vote. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. All right, item. Oh. No public comment. Item D, future agenda items. Anything you want to cover here, Rob?
I think we already covered it, what our marching orders are for the next few meetings. So we'll be bringing those forward. If the committee has any suggestions for topics, we would take those up. Maybe not this time, but just, you know, as with all our advisory bodies, staff takes its direction from the city manager, takes its direction from city council. So as long as it's in the course of our normal duties, we can probably work that in. Future agenda items that may not be totally within what we're doing right now, we may ask that board member that wants to do it to do some of the basic research and present it back to his fellow committee members.
Okay, thanks. Any members want to comment on this item?
Only thought I had is that I don't know if you want to consider it a future item, but it would be nice maybe as a group or subcommittees that maybe we can visit some of these locations, even the existing plant, meet with Bruce, kind of get, you know, a feeling of the spots that we're talking about rather than sitting in this building. I mean, is that a future item? That
I think that would be a good future item. Our Public Works Advisory Board just did a tour.
Any other comments?
Just a point before you adjourn. If we can make that happen, could we perhaps start maybe a half an hour earlier? I would do a special announcement for the starting of earlier. We would take probably a trolley out to the Rancho Colina site, and then after that visit, we would come back to the meeting room.
Yeah, that makes sense. Instead of having another special meeting,
yeah,
we
exactly.
Would just start earlier.
Yeah,
I think that makes sense. Great. Okay, with that, thanks, everyone. This adjourns our first meeting, and we will be will we be here at the Vets Hall?
To be determined.
Okay. So our next meeting will be to be determined on October 8th at 3 p.m. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. Looks like he's done.